Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Let's start it off with NASCAR. And this just broke about less than an hour ago, roughly an hour ago, about the Bubba Wallace situation where a noose had been allegedly found in his garage in Talladega. The FBI has now completed their investigation, and it's a shocker. I'm going to let Rob G. explain.
That's right, Chris. 15 FBI agents were on this case. And they determined that the noose that was found hanging over Bubba Wallace's garage was not actually a noose at all, but a rope tie used for the garage door that was fashioned in the shape of a noose, so to speak. So they concluded it was not a hate crime. There will be no charges placed on anybody. And NASCAR actually confirmed, based on their own video evidence, that that knot, that noose-shaped knot, had been hanging in that garage since October of last year.
Wow. Well, George, I'm going to give my take, and then I definitely want to hear yours. Because there are a lot of people on social media, a lot of people at this radio station right here, Fox Sports Radio, who are killing Bubba Wallace. And they seemingly devoid of the facts. They don't care what the facts are. They are killing Bubba Wallace and saying he wanted to play the victim. Here's my opinion on this. Number one, Bubba Wallace didn't find the noose or the rope, whatever you want to call it at this point. Bubba Wallace, in fact, never saw the rope. So it's not like Bubba walked into the garage by himself, saw the rope, and decided to say, you know what? The Confederate flag, Black Lives Matter, I'm going to make a story out of this. No one else is around. I'm going to tell them I found a noose. No! It was a member of Bubba's team. Bubba, in fact, never saw the noose. He was just told it like everyone else, and he believed it. A white guy found it, told him it was a noose hanging. And so, contrary to what a lot of people are saying, I do not think this makes NASCAR look bad. Number one, let's keep it real. Praise the Lord that it wasn't a noose. That's great that we didn't find a noose, that we didn't have a hate crime in NASCAR. That's great. So we're all happy about that. Number two, what NASCAR did yesterday for Bubba Wallace was great. Okay, turns out it wasn't necessary. It was unwarranted, but they didn't know that. And you saw Richard Petty, you saw Kyle Busch, you saw all of the drivers and their teams supporting Bubba Wallace, supporting Black Lives Matter, supporting that we are moving on from the Confederate flag and all that that stands for. They were willing to go there. We know their reputation. We know their history. We know much of their fan base. But they were willing to sacrifice that to move past white supremacy and racism and embrace racial equality. And so I think NASCAR still comes out ahead. I know some people say, oh, it's an overreaction. This whole thing is an overreaction. But it shows that they're willing to move on. And a lot of fans who want to hang on to the Confederate flag should look at some of their heroes. Richard Petty, Kyle Busch, the other drivers. Look at them. See that they're willing to move toward racial equality. See that they are, some of them I'm sure probably grew up under the same type of circumstances with the Confederate flag and all that. They're willing to move past that. I hope their fans will look at their example and do the same. So I don't blame Bubba one iota because he was just as innocent as anybody else in this. And I still think it's a good look for NASCAR.
I think it's, I agree with you, Chris. It's a good look for NASCAR. But when you look at Bubba Wallace, you just stated the facts. He didn't find the noose, said that he didn't, well, the rope, said he didn't see it, any of that. He trusted somebody else. But you have to remember the temperature of what's going on. Around a week ago, we found out that NASCAR was going to ban the Confederate flag. And after, because Wallace had spoken out about it, he received death threats and all sorts of, threatening messages.
Right.
So it is natural. Real. Yeah. So it's natural that his team and NASCAR would want to protect him. And the reason why that is because we've seen everybody from Hank Aaron to anybody else getting death threats over breaking records as right. or anything as it has to relate to sports. So I had people on my timeline saying, oh, this is Jussie Smollett, blah, blah, blah. No, Jussie
not even
was
close.
A fraud who made up a crime, right. paid somebody else to right. beat him up. Like that, that's lame, and he deserved whatever backlash came from this.
Right.
But with Bubba Wallace, you have to look at the totality and the temperature of it. And people say, oh, well, he just ran with it instead of waiting on the facts. That's the part that doesn't sit well with me is it's real easy to say, just take a second. You're the guy on your team that you trust.
Right.
Says that he found this and you're going to say, oh, wait, hold on. No, let's investigate. I know I've been getting death threats and I know that NASCAR right. fans historically have been racist. There have been black men hanging from trees for the last 3 weeks, curiously, and we don't know what happened to them. But I'm just going to assume that this
Thank
is a
you,
coincidence
Thank
that racist people don't do crazy things. They do. And granted, I will agree that this is the optimal scenario for NASCAR because if one of their own, because it could have only been one of their own.
Well, your point, it would have been somebody most likely in that parade yesterday. Right?
Yep. And that would have been the ultimate disaster for NASCAR. And now you're going to have people standing on the top rope saying, oh, he's a fraud. This is left liberal fake news. And it's like, no. If there's smoke, there's usually fire.
Right,
and it's
right.
a good thing that this time that there was no fire.
And the other thing is this, like I, watching that event yesterday when, you know, they pushed Bubba's car and everybody was walking beside him. I mean, it was a great emotional event. You saw he was crying after. I mean, and understandably. I mean, that's a really emotional event. However, it's also a bit awkward for Bubba. Like, because when you're singled out like that, even in something positive, and it was great. Again, it was very good. Nothing negative about it. But it still is awkward because you don't want to be viewed as a charity case. You know, you don't want to be seen. I've been the only black guy around a bunch of white people. And you don't want to be viewed as the black guy. You know what I mean? And singled out as the black guy. You're proud to be black and all that. But you want to be accepted as
be
a man and a person.
Friend.
Right, right. And it could have easily been taken that way yesterday with Bubba. And I thought he handled it well. And so, with class and with grace. And, you know, he went to the black fans in the grandstand and saluted them. And so I thought he handled it well. But nobody would necessarily, George, want to put as great as it was. That's not necessarily a situation you want to put yourself in.
No.
It's one thing if everybody's celebrating you because you won the race or because you were the driver of the year or something like that. But just because you're black? No, that's not really what anybody wants. So,
way. And I actually thought it was significant, Chris, them pushing him to the front because it not only symbolized what had been going, what had been going on in NASCAR. It symbolized a change,
right?
A willingness for NASCAR to say, you know what? We're standing together. We are going to grow our sport. We are going to do something different than what we had done in the past. It was almost like a visual representation of a repentance, because a repentance is not just reframing or stopping doing what you're doing. It's turning away from what you're doing, turning away. And that's what NASCAR did. They acknowledged and they're standing together and they turned away. So that moment was still very poignant despite what has come out about this rope situation.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And let's stay in the NBA, George. And Bleacher Report came out with this article recently, and they asked one simple question: whose legacy would get the biggest boost if he led his team to the championship this year? And here's their orders. I'll start from the bottom. Number six, meaning he's the sixth player who his legacy would get the least boost on this list of the top six: LeBron James. Number five, Kawhi Leonard. Number four, Ben Simmons, which I think is unrealistic, but yeah, I guess if Ben won, heck yeah. Giannis number three, Chris Paul number two, and James Harden number one. Now, I agree that of those players, Harden's legacy would get the biggest boost, because we know he's been this great individual phenom. He's been an offensive machine for the last 4 or 5 years, or a historic offensive machine for the last 4 or 5 years. He's been a machine even longer than that, but hasn't been able to get over the hump and win a title. So I do think this would be huge for him. But I'm going to throw something at you. What if Russell Westbrook leads the Rockets to the championship? Which I think is very possible. Westbrook is, I would take Harden over him. But you can make a strong argument that Russell Westbrook is just as good as James Harden. Historically, I think they go down, at least at this point, right around the same place. And they've both done great things individually, but haven't been able to win a championship. And that's been the knock on each of them. And since they've gone small, Russell Westbrook has been an absolute monster. All right, in the month of February, he averaged 33 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists on 55% shooting.
Yep. In March, all they need to do is get rid of Clint Capella.
Well, they got rid of Clint Capella, and they went small. And Westbrook has been playing great. He averaged 26, 9.5 boards and 5 assists in the month of March. There was only 5 games, but he was playing great basketball. And I believe statistically, he may have averaged more than Harden points per game since they went small. It's very close. So my point is this. If what I'm going to throw at you is this: if Westbrook is the better player in the playoffs of the two, if Westbrook is the better player in the finals and wins the finals MVP, who does this boost, still boost Harden's legacy more, or does it boost Westbrook's legacy more? And now he's regarded historically as the better player.
Okay, so I'm going to humor you with this argument. I mean, with this debate, because first thing is, they cannot win. You cannot win a championship with James Harden.
I agree with you there. You can't win with him?
You cannot win a championship with James Harden as your best player.
Well, hold on. A couple years ago, did they not have Golden State down 3-2?
Listen, if it ends with pots and pans, the whole world would be a kitchen, Chris. So I'm just going to go with the fact that they can't win. But for the sake of the debate here, is if Westbrook had the better playoffs, I mean, like from start to finish, and carry the team, it would be a bigger boost to his legacy than it would be to Harden, because it would be one of those, Kind of like what they said about LeBron at the beginning of his career when he first won a champ. Well, when he went to Miami, oh, he needed somebody else to make the shots for him. He needed this. He needed that. He needed a savior. And that's what they will say about James Harden. That and Russell Westbrook, people have said, oh, you can't win with him. He's a phenomenal talent, all these things, but he just can't win. He can't gel with teammates, all of that. So it would be a bigger boost for Westbrook's legacy than it would be for James Harden, especially if he carried them. But truth be told, they cannot win. You cannot win a championship with a guy who doesn't put it on the line every day on both ends of the floor. Like Steph Curry isn't a great defender, but at least he tries. And you have times where Harden checks out. He doesn't participate in the offense when he's not dominating the ball. You can't win like that, period.
I think he could win a championship. I don't think they can win it this year. I think they're going to run into one of the LA teams and lose in the second round if they even get past the first round. So I'm with you on that. They're a long shot in my view. But I'll give them just a puncher's chance because they do have two great players. But I don't think I'm not against Harden being able to win a championship. Because, again, a few years ago, and I still personally think Golden State was going to come back and win, even though they were down 3-2 going to Houston. However, or with Houston having home court. However, I still, you know, got to admit they were up 3-2. And if Chris Paul doesn't hurt his hamstring, maybe Houston wins that series.
Maybe,
and maybe,
right?
They beat Cleveland. Yeah, it's a maybe. We don't know. So, but I think these guys are very close historically. Very close historically. And I think if Westbrook won a ring and was the best player and led his team to the championship, as great as it would be for Harden to do the same thing, I think there's a strong argument that Westbrook would get the bigger boost.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking about. I'm saying Westbrook leading them or Harden leading them.
No,
and the Bleacher Report problem. The problem with the Bleacher Report article was they assumed Harden would definitely lead them, and I don't think that's an assumption you should necessarily make.
Oh, I totally agree with that, but. But the of all the people on the list, though, the one that struck me the most was, granted, Chris Paul would get a boost, but I feel like he's very
totally
well respected, but he can't win. But the person that just shocked me the most to be on this list was Ben Simmons. I was like, Ben Simmons doesn't even have a legacy yet. You know what I mean? Like, he's not even deep enough in the game to where people are questioning, oh, wow, can he win a championship? Is he going to win a championship? You know, he's not even in a real solid, like, MVP front runner yet for you to even be questioning. Like, dude can't even hit three-pointers good yet. And so he's still so.
Hit him, shoot, take him. Harley,
take him, yeah. Or he's still so.
I feel you. And you're right. He's in that honeymoon stage still, toward the end of it, but he's still in the honeymoon stage where, you know, if he doesn't win, nobody jumps on him. But if he did happen to win, happen to lead them to the championship, his legacy would get a boost. He would definitely get a boost. And
It would be one of those early ones where, you know, almost like an Aaron Rodgers where he won earlier in his career, to where, like, you don't even necessarily have to win again to get the respect that you deserve. You know, people will wonder, oh, is he going to win again? But you can never take away those championships, buddy.
No, no question. But since we're dreaming, how about Luka Doncic? I mean, if he, and again, it's totally unrealistic, but if he won, he would, his legacy, or I don't even want to say legacy yet.
It would be bigger
it would be huge.
He's already done more.
He's done more than LeBron at this stage in his career.
Yeah. He would be on a better trajectory than for the Mavericks. And end up more beloved than Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, no question.
If he got a championship in the next 2 or 3 years, they'd be like, whoa, hold up. I mean, because they would be in contention every single year, year in and year out, which is what you want for your great players. And mind you, Luka, he didn't come in with, even though he's performed so well, he didn't come in with the same fanfare and, you know, weight on his back like LeBron did, where people were expecting. And LeBron, granted, some of it he put on his own back, not five, not six, not seven. But Luka's had so much less pressure that it almost feels like an overachievement if he wins early in his career.
Well, it would be. I mean, for a guy in this day and age to lead a team to the championship in his second year, the only player that I would, and maybe Bill Russell, I'd have to look back to see what Boston did before Bill Russell got there. I know they didn't win, but they had Bob Cousy and some other really good players. But the only guy is like who would have done something like this? Well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Larry Bird. Because Magic won it as a rookie, but he had Kareem. Kareem was the MVP, and I know Kareem sat out the one game in the, you know, game six in the finals, but still, he had Kareem as the leader of that team, and you had Norm Nixon and, you know, some other Jamal Wilkes, some other really good players on that squad. Whereas if Luka were to somehow win this championship, it would have been Luka. And yes, Kristaps Porzingis is nice too. But this would you would have to give Luka, like, it would be incredible. And again, I don't think it would happen. But since we're throwing Chris Paul and Ben Simmons on the list, why not?
And you are missing out on the one person who's actually on this list as well, who I was thinking about it while we were talking, who would actually even have a bigger legacy boost than anybody on this entire list, anybody that we've mentioned so far. That is the reigning MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because if he got a chip, think about this, Chris. If Giannis got a championship now, what with his skill set, the development of his game, because he could have won MVP and most improved player in the league last year.
Right.
So if you look at his trajectory, like, people would be saying if he got a championship this year, because he's not playing with another superstar. You know, right. He's playing with Chris Middleton and Lopez. Like, this is not a
here's why I disagree.
A super team. Be considered one of the best players of all time. People would be trying to make that argument.
Here's why I disagree. Because he's expected to win more than one. He better win more than one. I mean, if 5 years from now he has one or zero championships, it's going to be a disappointment. And so that's why I think when he wins one, when he wins this one, let's say he won this one, it would be a legacy boost. There's no doubt. But it would just be like, okay, he got to keep winning. Let's see him keep winning. You know, so when you're at the level he's at, one is not enough. And so that's why I would disagree. I think it'll be a boost, no doubt. But I think it would be a bigger boost for James Harden. And I think it'd be a bigger boost for Russell Westbrook. Yeah, it'd be a vindication. Because they're later in their careers. And they don't have as many opportunities.
Listen,
and Harden's not viewed. I mean, you view Harden as a guy that can't win. Most people feel that way about Westbrook. As much as I like him, I don't see him winning a title. And so if Westbrook could say, if his resume said world champion, led the team to the championship as the finals MVP, and the only player in NBA history to average a triple-double three straight years, you couldn't mess with Russ. I'm saying, like, it would bring that triple-double trifecta to a whole new level. Because then, people would start making arguments for Russ being better than this guy and that guy because he did that triple-double and he got a ring.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And Brett Favre, as Rob G just said, Favre. Brett Favre, Brett Favre, the Hall of Famer, the all-time great quarterback, he made an interesting comment recently to TMZ about Colin Kaepernick. Here's what he said.
You know, I can only think of, right off the top of my head, Pat Tillman's another guy who did something, you know, similar. And we regard him as a hero. So I assume that hero status will be stamped with Kaepernick as well.
You want to hit that,
yeah,
George?
Oh, for sure. I believe that Kaepernick will be looked at as a hero, you know, 10, 20 years from now. But it won't be in the same way that Pat Tillman is, because there's a big difference between sacrificing your career and ultimately sacrificing your life. Even though that Pat Tillman didn't actually die in combat, still, he gave up his career to go fight for our country, to fight for our freedoms, to even fight for Kaepernick being able to do what he did, being able to take a knee. But when you look at the historical context of things, during the time, I mean, Martin Luther King was looked at as a hero amongst people who agreed with him, but he wasn't looked at as a hero by other people until he was the most hated man, voted the most hated man in the country in 1967. So, and the same thing with Muhammad Ali when he went to jail. He was not opposing the Vietnam War. He wasn't looked at as a hero by everybody at that point in time. The celebration usually comes significantly after. And now Colin Kaepernick is seeing some vindication where the league admitted we were wrong. They didn't call him out by name, but they did say we were wrong. And at the point in time where people say, oh, wow, this dude was right, that's where history becomes on your side. And you can be looked at not as a martyr, but be looked at as a hero.
Well, first of all, I agree with you about Pat Tillman. Like, I mean, let's be all the athletes we talk about that did great things. And we tend to talk in the black context because they fought social injustice and the racism in this country. Muhammad Ali, Jackie Robinson, you know, even now LeBron James, and we can talk about all these guys. Look, Pat Tillman's on a different level. I mean, as you said, he gave up his life, and he wasn't just drafted into the Army like athletes in the past. He went voluntarily, gave up his career, and died in, I mean, it was friendly fire, unfortunately. But he died, you know, like you said, willing to fight for this country and our freedom. So he's on another level. Now, I don't think he gets celebrated like he probably should. You know, because when you think about the great athletes and what they've done off the field and how they were men of character and stood for something other than their sport, we don't tend to think of a Pat Tillman. But in reality, when you sit back and think about it, the dude is a straight-up hero. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Well, part of that is I believe that that in this social media culture, television culture, all of this, I mean, and with some of the most historical figures in sports who've done great things, they've been around to tell the story. And I think that Pat Tillman is celebrated by the Arizona Cardinals the way he should be, by Arizona State the way he should be, but not necessarily nationally the way that he probably, I don't think he gets that appreciation nationally. And I do think that that's because he's not there isn't a tale of heroism that could be told like in a movie in terms of like when, like if you were watching Sniper or you were watching.
I think it's more because he wasn't continuing to play on, and it wasn't in the context of sports. You know,
do you believe though, had he died during combat, Like, and there were some story that could be told in terms of a movie, a special, or something where he went out and saved lives or did something to get a, you know, a Purple Heart or something, you know, like.
I mean, would that have made it better? Maybe. I mean, obviously, that's huge if you do something like that. But I still just think that, you know, he left the game. He was out of the country. And, you know, there wasn't like Muhammad Ali continued to fight, you know, and came back and boxed. And Kaepernick is trying to come back. Like we talk about, Kaepernick definitely gave up his career, at least to this point. But he also is trying to get his career back. Whereas Pat Tillman just said, I'm giving it up, and for good, if that's what it comes to. And so I think there's a difference. Let me ask you this, though, because now, you know, I've said it. I'm not sure where you stand on this. I think Kaepernick should be back in the league. I hope he gets back in the league. But is it better for his legacy to, you know, his legacy as this freedom fighter and so on and so forth, if he's not in the league? And here's what I would say. Unless he comes back and is a star, if he comes back to play and becomes a star again, makes some Pro Bowls, doesn't necessarily have to win a Super Bowl. Obviously, if he won a Super Bowl or became a great, you know, a superstar player, that would be tremendous for his legacy on the field and off the field. But if he comes back and is just a star again and a really good top flight quarterback, I think it's good for his legacy. If he comes back and remains a backup or eventually gets a starting job and is mediocre at best, if not bad, then I actually think, I think what's best is that he gets in the league because that's what he wants to do. That's what's fair. But when you talk about his legacy as a freedom fighter and his legacy overall, it may be best. It's best, I'd say, that he doesn't get back in the league.
No, Chris.
If he's only going to be a backup.
Hey, no, Chris, as long as he doesn't get. It doesn't matter whether he gets in the league and is bad, good, any of that. The important part is that he gets back in the league because that was the fight. The fight was that he gave up his career for a cause, and turns out that he was right. He was willing to fight against all people who said, oh, it's not the right place, not the right time, all of that. He fought against it. And we always try to teach our kids character, do the right thing, that despite nobody watching, even when it's hard, even when other people are against you, do the right thing. And sometimes doing the right thing doesn't always get you the result that you want. But for Kaepernick to fight against it and then ultimately get back in the league, it feels like the right ending.
Agree with that. And that's why, like, he wants to play, so I hope he gets back in the league. But I'm saying, and look, either way, he's going to be remembered as the guy that started this movement and the guy that turned out to be right. So I'm with you there. Like, his legacy is good either way. But I think if he doesn't play again, I think it's better. The legacy is even better because there's mythology there. There will be people that would say if he had gotten back in the league, he would have won a Super Bowl or he would have been this great quarterback again. All of that would be tied to him because there's the what if factor. Whereas if he gets back and he's mediocre or never sets foot on the field as a starter again, his legacy is
set. No, Chris, you are missing it.
But it's not a good look.
You're missing it.
I'm not missing it.
Yes, you are.
I'm with you, George, in that it's the fair ending. It's the way we want it to end. And it's good either way. But I bet you he will be celebrated and mythologized more if he doesn't play than if he does and is mediocre.
Because you will always hear that if he got back in and didn't play great or was just a backup, any of that, you will always have what happened to Ali, which was, oh man, some of the best years of his career were stolen from him while he was the champ. All of that. So that actually creates the myth even more.
Yeah, but Ali came back and won. If Ali had never gotten back to the championship, his legacy would still be very impressive, but it wouldn't be what it is now. He had to come back and beat Frazier again, beat Foreman.
I will agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I agree that his best years, we probably didn't even get to see him. And that plays into his the myth of him being the greatest because, hey, what we got was special, and we didn't even see him in his prime those 3 years. So, I mean, look, either way, I think Kaepernick goes down as a tremendous, you know, it's a great story. He's going to have a great legacy either way. But I just think if he doesn't play again, then people will put all types of mythology on him. The best, of course, would be he comes back and becomes a star again. That would be the greatest for his legacy.